Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Ayin. There are two topics on today's daf, only two topics. First, we're going to discuss Bitul Rishus in the Chatzar, and the Gemara is going to question whether it's necessary to specifically be Mevatel Rishus to each and every other member of the Chatzar, or can you just be Mevatel Rishus to one person, and that would suffice on behalf of everybody, and we're going to use a Braisa to answer that question, but the entire Amud Aleph is just expounding on that Braisa. The Braisa is going to have seven statements, and we're going to go through line by line everything the Braisa has to say, and then the entire Amud Bey relates to whether a Yoresh, if someone inherits a home on Shabbos, can he be Mevatel his Rishus on Shabbos? Rav Nachman is going to say that he can, but the Gemara is going to quote two Braises in today's daf, another Brais in tomorrow's daf, that seem to prove that he cannot be Mevatel Rishus. So again, Amud Aleph is simply about whether you need to be Mevatel Rishus l'kol echad v'echad. Amud Beis is about a Yoresh be Mevatel Rishus. So we left off actually on the bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis, finishing up explaining line by line of our Mishnah. So we left off, I think, two lines from the bottom. She'echad nosein rishus. So the Mishnah had said that one person can be nosein rishus and notel rishus. He can be the recipient or the giver of a bitul rishus. But two people can be nosein rishus, but they cannot be notel rishus. Two people can be mevatel rishus, but they cannot be the recipients of a bitul rishus. So frankly, Gemara sulamali e nosein tanina e notel tanina. We already learned from earlier lines in the Mishnah that one person could be mevatel rishus and that one person could be the recipient of a bitul rishus. No, we need this line doesn't add anything about the echad. What this line is adding is about the shnayim, that shnayim nosin rishus, that two people have the ability to be mevatel rishus. Says Gemara, hanami pshita, isn't that also obvious that two people can be mevatel rishus? No, mal detema ligzer dilma asi levetuli lehu kamash melan. I might have thought that if we allow two people to be mevatel rishus to others, that we might also come to allow others to be mevatel rishus to two people. So kamash melan, that we don't have to worry that people might get confused between those two cases, and therefore we allow two people to be mevatel rishus, and we're not concerned that it's going to cause others to be mevatel rishus to two people. Ve'ein notlin rishus. We said so. Two people cannot be notel rishus. If people are mevatel rishus to two people, it's ineffective. You're not allowed to carry in such a chatzer. So says Gemara lamali. What's the kasha lamali? As Rashi points out in the second line, hatanale hayushnayim osrin ze al ze. We already learned in a previous line in the Mishnah that if there are two people in the chatzer, they aser on each other. If there are two people left, they still aser on each other. So obviously, if you're mevatel rishus to two people, that doesn't accomplish anything because they still aser on each other. They're osrin ze al ze. So says the Gemara lo tzricha afal gavda army they kni al menas lahaknos. Even though you told them when you were mevatel rishus to one of them, you told them to be kona al menas to be makne back to the other one. And then he actually turned around and he was mevatel his rishus to the other guy. So at the end of the day, everyone was mevatel rishus to one person. So Ma'u Detema Rashi points out, I might have thought that they make him, it's ki'ilu, they made him a shliach to be mevatel rishus, that it's kamash melan, that since he was not kona, delo kona ilu lishtaruye, lo masalaknuye, that since he was not kona in a way that was matir, the chatzar, for himself, he can't be makne it to anybody else. That being mevatel rishus to two people at one time does not work. We do not assume that it's ki'ilu, he's the shliach, to be makne to everybody else. Good, that's the end of the discussions from yesterday's daf. So now we raise the shaila that the whole Amud Aleph is going to center around. If you have five people live in one chatzer, and one guy forgot to make an eriv, so when he's mevatel his rishus to the other five guys, does he have to be mevatel his rishus individually to each and every one of them, or is that not necessary? Can he just be mevatel rishus to one of them, and that would be good enough? So he said that Rabbi answered that you certainly do need to be mevatel rishus to each and every other member of the chatzer, but being mevatel rishus to one guy does not work. The Rishonim have a discussion. So let's say he was only mevatel rishus to one guy. Can that one guy be mevatel in the chatzer? Can he carry in the chatzer? So Rashi on Daf Chavavam Beis and the Rashba in Avodas Hakodesh say that even that one guy that he was mevatel rishus to is not allowed to be mevatel in the chatzer. But Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz thinks that he is allowed to be mevatel in the chatzer. It's also a discussion. So now that Rabbah has paskin, we're gonna see if there's a challenge to Rabbah. Now the Rabbah has paskin that you need to be mevatel rishos lekol echad ve'echad, that you have to be mevatel rishos to every resident in the chatzer. So the Torah writes that if a person is mevatel rabim, if he's mevatel to multiple people, he has to say rishusi mevutelas lach ve'lach. He has to say each and every one, to you and to you. Oh, Rishusim Uvitels Lukulchem. Or you could just say a more general phrase. He has to do Lukalachad Vechad, but that doesn't necessarily mean individually, says the Torah. He could say that he's being Mavatar Rishus Lukulchem, he's being Mavatar Rishus to everybody collectively. And the Magen Mishnah is Medayik this way from Rashi and Chafav and Beis as well. That if they were all Omdim Lefanim, they're all right in front of him, and he says Rishusim Uvitels Lukulchem, so then it's going to work. That's the same as the Kalachad Vechad. The Mi'iri, however, says no. He has to be Mavatar Lukul Echad separately, even when they're all right in front of him, and he has to say to you and to you, and if they're not omdim lefanav, he has to say reshusai mevatelus leploni uleploni, and he has to identify one by one and say the names of each and every one of them. So this is a basic machlokas rishonim. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, the Rambam says mevatel rabim tzarich lomar reshusai mevatelus lach lach lach, that it has to be, he has to say that I'm being mevatel my reshus to you and to you and to you. So the Magen Mishnah is not sure what does the Rambam hold. Does the Rambam hold that it doesn't help to say kulchem, that you have to dafka single out one by one, and that's why the Rambam gives that, as the Rambam just saying that as the common example, but kulchem in achinami would also work. So the Taz is medayik from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph over there in Siman Shin Pei, that the Rambam, that according to the Shitas HaRambam, it does not help to say kulchem, and the reason it doesn't help to say kulchem, very interesting, says the Taz in Sif Katan Aleph, is because in Kol HaTorah Kula we always have a din called rubo kikulo, that when you have a rove, that's ki'ilu, you have everything. And therefore, if a person says a lashon of kulchem, maybe he means the halachic kulchem, the general halachic kulchem, which is rubo, that maybe that's all he intends to say, that he's being mevatel his rishos to the majority of the group that's in front of him, and that's not enough. You need to be mevatel rishos to everybody. So that's why, says the Taz, you have to single out each and every person to make sure you have everybody covered, because saying kulchem only means rubo kikulo. It may only mean that you're being mevatel rishos to rov, and that certainly would not suffice in by Eruv. Now, the Achronim asked the Kasha, that is, if that's really a concern, then this seems to be a problem for a Gemara Maseches Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, Samach Vavim Bey, says that even with regards to a get, which we're dealing with Da'oraisas, we say kulchem, the lashon of kulchem means kulchem mamish, because the Gemara over there talks about if a person says to 10 people, kulchem kisfu get leishti, I want all of you to write a get for my wife. So the halacha is that every single one of them needs to sign on that get, and even though normally a get only needs two signatures, if any one of these 10 people die, and therefore you only have 9 signatures on the get is batel. Now, to say the get is batel, it sounds like a chumrah. That means to say that she's still married to this guy, and it is a chumrah to say that she's still married to this guy, but we would say this both l'kula and l'chumrah, meaning we don't view it as a suffix get. We view it as a vaday not a get. So why would the get be batel? Maybe his kavana when he said kulchem was only rubo kikulo, that only the rove of them would have been enough, and therefore if 9 of them sign, that's good enough too, and therefore it should at least be a suffek get. If the Taz is correct that anytime somebody says kulchem, he might only mean rove. So in the Chuvus Yehuda Yala, he writes that anytime someone says a lashon of kulchem, we're not sure whether he means kula mamish or he means rov. And generally speaking, therefore, we just apply chazaka. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So when you're mevatel your rishos, we're choshesh that maybe you didn't mean to be mevatel to everybody, you're only being mevatel to rov, and therefore we keep the chazaka of the cheskas iser, and the b'nei chatzar are still aser, the bitul rishos doesn't work. But by get isha, she has a cheskas eshas ish, so we assume that he means kula mamish, because that maintains the cheskas eshas ish, and that's why if one of them dies, the get is batel. So it's whatever is going to maintain the current chazaka. That's what we must be assuming. But that's the phenomenal chiddush of the Taz, that kulchem might mean rove, and that's why you have to identify each and every one. So the Gemara is now going to quote a brisa that's going to have seven halachos in this brisa, and we're going to try to see if one of these halachos or more is a challenge to the psak of Rabbah that you need to be mevatel l'kol echad ve'echad, that you need to be mevatel individually to each and every person, each and every neighbor in the chatzar. So Eisfei, here's the brisa. First we'll read through the whole thing, the Gemara is going to go through line by line later. Halacha number one, echad shelo irev nosen reshus l'echad she'irev. One guy that did not join in the erev can be mevatel reshus to one guy who did join in the erev. Halacha number two, shnayim she'irevu nosen reshus l'echad shelo irev. Two people who did join in the erev can be mevatel their reshus to one person who did not join in the erev. Halacha number three, ushnayim shelo irevu nosen reshus l'shnayim she'irevu. Two people who did not join in the erev can be mevatel their reshus to two people who did join in the erev. Halacha number four, Ola echad shelo irev. Two people who did not join in the erev can also be mevatel reshus to one person who did not join in the erev. Halacha number five, avalo echad she'irev nosin reshuso leechad shelo irev. But one person who made an erev cannot be mevatel as reshus to one person who did not make the erev, who did not join in the erev. Halacha number six, ve'ein shnayim she'irvu nosin reshusan l'shnayim shelo irvu. Two people who joined in the erev cannot be mevatel their reshus to two people who did not join in the erev. And finally, halacha number seven, ve'ein shnayim shelo irvu nosin reshusan l'shnayim shelo irvu. Two people who did not join in the erev cannot be mevatel reshus to two people who did not join in the erev. It's helpful to number them because the rest of the daf is going to just go through first comparing one to the other, and then we're going to just go through one by one to explain them. But first we'll try to bring a raya. So the raya is from the first one. Katani miyas resha. It says in the very first halacha in this brisa, the first of the seven, that echad shelo irev nosim reshuso le'echad she'irev. One person who did not join in the eruv can be mevatel's reshus to one person who did join in the eruv. So echidami, what's the case? How many people live in this chatzer? Idelek achrina ba'de ba'diman irev. If there's no one else living in this chatzer besides for these two guys, so what does it mean that one guy who did not join in the Erev will be nosin his reshus to one guy who did join in the Erev? Who did that guy join in an Erev with? It must be that there was somebody else there if he joined in an Erev. So, pshita di'ika achrina ba'de. There must have been somebody else in the picture, and yet, what does it say? Ve'katani le'echad she'irev. And yet, what does it say? That he's mevatel's reshus to one of the people who joined in the Erev. He does not need to be mevatel's reshus l'kol echad ve'echad to every other member of the chatzer. It suffices to be mevatel reshus to just one. So that's the raya against Rabbah. You don't need to be mevatel l'kol echad ve'echad. So Rabbah would respond very simply, v'Rabbah hacha ma'eskinan tahava umis. Rabbah would say, no, you're being mevatel reshus to the only surviving member of that chatzer. Aye, who did he join in an Erev with? Someone who has since died. He joined in an Erev with somebody, and that person died on Shabbos. So now the person you're being mevatel reshus to is the only one left. So normally you do need to be mevatel l'kol echad ve'echad. The case in this brisa is there is only one guy, so that's why you're only being mevatel to one guy. So frek the Gemara, wait a second. Ida hava umis. If we're talking the brisa in general, these seven halachos of the brisa are talking about a case where someone was alive before Shabbos started and has since died, ema seifa, well then the seifa goes on to say, halacha number five, aval ein echad she'irev, nosin reshuso le'echad shelo irev, that one person who did join in the Erev cannot be nosin his reshus to one person who did not join in the Erev. V'ida hava umis amaylo. But if there was another party that has since died, why not? What's the problem with one guy who did join in the Erev being mevatel reshus to the other guy who did not join in the Erev? That's just to be one guy being mevatel reshus to one guy. What would be the issue? El pshita di isay. It must be that the other party is still there, and that's why it's not enough for one guy who joined in the Erev to be mevatel reshus to the party who did not join in the Erev, because there's somebody else that's not being accounted for. Also, case number five in the Brisa is talking about where there's another party that's still alive and well and is still there, umidisefa isei, reisha nami isei. Then case number one of the Brisa must also be talking about a case where the guy is still there, says Abaye. I mean, it must also be talking about a case where the guy is still there, and therefore you see that that you don't need to be mevatel rishos lekalechad ve'echad, because in case number one you only had to be mevatel rishos to one person, you didn't need to be mevatel rishos to everybody. So Rabbi would respond, no, midiriya hakadisa. No, I don't think necessarily just because case number five involves a third party that we don't speak about, that case number one also involves a third party that's still alive. No, the third party's dead in case number one, and case number five, the third party's still alive. There's no problem with saying that. Teda, the Ketani Sefer Duration, I'll prove to you that that within this price we have to switch up the case at some point, because look at at case number three in the price. It says what we call the Sefer Duration, but it's case number, it would be hard to give a title to each line when you have seven lines, so we just call it Sefer Duration. Case number three is Ushnaim Shelo Irvu Nosin Rishusan L'Shnaim She'irvu, that two people who did not make an Erev could be Nosin Rishus to two people who do make an Eruv. L'shnayim in le'echado, they could be mevatel rishus to two people who did make an Eruv, but to one person, sounds like, to one of the two, sounds like it's not good enough. They cannot be mevatel rishus. V'abayi amar, and Abayi would say, if Abayi is going to say that the entire Brisa is talking about that that the two people are still around, Maila beis, what does it mean that you can be mevatel rishus to two people? Le'echad mi beis, it means one of the two guys. Well, if it wanted to say one of the two guys, why doesn't it say le'echad she'irev o le'echad shelo irev? So kasha, so that's taka difficult according to Abaye. But the bottom line is both Abaye and Rabbah have a way to explain this first halacha of the Brais. Again, the first halacha of the Brais was that echad shelo irev nosin reshusol le'echad she'irev, somebody who did not join in an eruv could be mevatel reshus to somebody who did join in the eruv. So Abaye points out that line seems to prove that you don't have to be mevatel reshus to each and every person who joined in the Erev, because clearly there's another person here who had joined in the Erev, and still we allow you to be mevatel rishus to just one person. What seemed like a clear raya against Rabbah, and Rabbah says, no, the guy was there, but now he's dead, so you're being mevatel rishus to every surviving member of the chatzar. It's all you can do is to be mevatel rishus to the survivor, to the one person who's still alive in the chatzar. Later parts in the Brisa are clearly talking about cases where all the participants are alive. Hakadisa, Hakadisa. Good. Each line of the Brisa has the right to change the case slightly, to be talking about slightly different things. So now the Gemara goes through line by line of the Brisa, what the Chiddush is of each line in this Brisa. So number one, Echad Shelo Yirev Nosin Rishus L'Echad She'irev. One guy who did not join in the Erev can be Nosin Rishus to one guy who did join in the Erev. So La Abaye Di Isay. According to Abaye, the case is that the third party is still alive. And the chiddush of this line is that you do not need to be mevatel rishus to everybody individually. And the Rabbah, tahavu umis v'lo gazer zimnin de'isei. And according to Rabbah, the case is that the third party is not still alive, he's dead. And the chiddush of this line is that we're not going to be gozer, don't be mevatel rishus to the one surviving member of the chatzar, lest you come to be mevatel rishus to one person even when there are multiple surviving members. The chiddush is we don't make such a gzeira that it's good enough to be mevatel rishus to the one surviving member. Line number two of the brisa: Ushnayim she'irvu nosin rishus al na'echad shelo irev. Two people who did join in the erev could be mevatel rishus to the one guy who did not. So pshita, isn't that also obvious? Now, I might have thought that why should we allow them to be mevatel rishus to that one guy? Let's punish that one guy for not joining in the Erev, so we should make a knas, we should penalize the person who didn't make the Erev by not allowing him to carry in the chatzar at all. So, kamash malon, there is no such penalty. Halacha number three in the Braisa, Ubeis shelo irvu, nosen reshusan l'shnayim she'irvu. Two people who did not join in the Eruv could be mevatel reshus to two people who did join in the Eruv. So the Rabba Tana Sefer L'Gluya Aresha, according to Rabba, we need the halacha number 3 to be megala on the Resha, that the Resha doesn't have to conform with halacha number 5. Remember we said before that halacha number 5 is that the guy, there's another surviving member of the Chatzar, and Rabba wanted to suggest that halacha number 1 is where there's no other surviving member of the Chatzar, so halacha number 3 shows us that we can have different cases within the same Brisa. That's why I need case number 3. La Abaye beishlo irvu tzrichle. According to Abaye, the chiddush is that it's two people who did not make an eruv. Salkadai techamina ligzer dilmasi levtuli luhu kamash mlan. I might have thought that if we allow two people who did not make an eruv to be mevatel rishus to others, that we might come to be mevatel rishus to two people who didn't make an eruv, and that's no good. You can't be mevatel rishus to multiple people who did not make an eruv because they still aser on each other. So that's the chiddush, that we don't make such a gzera. Good, halacha number 4 in the Braisa. Ola echad shalo irev. So halacha number 4 in the Braisa was, or to be mevatel rishos, two people who did not join the Erev can also be mevatel rishos to one person who did not join in the Erev. So lamali, what's the chiddush in this line? I would have thought that Bittul Rishos works if at least they tried an Erev, at least somebody took care of their responsibilities before Shabbos and tried to make an Erev. But when none of them made an Erev, I would think we should make a Knas so that Taras Erev not be forgotten, that we don't forget the whole concept of Erev. So Kamash Milan, that there's no such penalty, we allow, even though nobody here bothered making an Erev, we allow a Bittul Rishos from the two people who did not join the Erev to the one person who did not join the Erev. Halacha number 5, Aval Ein Echad She'irev, Nosim Rishuso, Le'echad She'lo Irev. One person who did join the Erev cannot be Mevatel Rishos to one person who did not join the Eruv. So La Abaye Tana Sefer L'Gluya Reisha. So we already explained, according to Abaye, we need this to show that the case is that there's a third surviving member. Because the only way this makes sense is if there's a third surviving member, right? Because otherwise it doesn't make sense that there's one person who made the Eruv, and what would be the problem with him being Mevatel Rishos to someone who didn't make an Eruv if it's only the two of them left? No, it must be that there's another guy who also made the Eruv together with him, who's not joining in this Bittul Rishos, and that's the problem. So Abaye would say that we need this case to show me that halacha number 1 was also talking about a case where there's another surviving member of the Chatzar, and therefore we see you don't need to be mevata likol echad ve'echad. And the Rabba, I did Tana Reisha, Tana Nami Seifa. And Rabba just says, no, once we mention the Reisha, we mention this case as well. We mention all the different permutations, but it's not really an extra chiddush that we're learning in case number 5. Case number 6, Ve'ein shnayim she'irvu, nosen reshus on the shnayim shelo irvu. Two people who joined in the Erev cannot be mevatel reshus to two who did not join in the Erev. So hasu lamali, at this point we get it already. No, you can't be mevatel reshus to two people who are not part of the Erev, because they aser on each other, right? We've already seen this 1,000 times. How many? What's the chiddush of this halacha? So says Gemara, lo tzricha debatel echad minay lechavrei. Even though one of the two people that you're mevatel rishus to then turns around and is mevatel his rishus to the other guy. So mal de tamel shtarile, I might have thought that at that point we should say that it's mutter because it all went to one guy, the bitul rishus at the end all went to one guy. So that's why it has to tell me that since at the time of the Bittul Rishos, it wasn't matir anything in this chatzer, so that's no good, because at the time of the initial Bittul Rishos, they were mevatel to two people, and being mevatel to two people doesn't help when neither of those people are joined in the Eruv. So even though one of them turns around and is mevatel to the other guy, that's too late. At the original Bittul Rishos, nothing was accomplished. And then finally, halacha number 7, Ve'ein shnayim shelo irvu, nosen reshusam l'shnayim shelo irvu. Two people who did not join the Erev cannot be mevatel their reshus to another two people who did not join in the Erev. So Hasu Lamali, this is abundantly obvious that you have two people who didn't join in the Erev, whether whoever's being Mevatel Rishos to them, let alone if it's two others who did not join in the Erev, cannot be Mevatel Rishos to them. What's the Chiddush here? So Tzricha Darmi Kni Al Menas Lahaknos. Now it's even though they said explicitly that when you're Mevatel to the two people, they said explicitly, we want you to be Kona, this Rishos Al Menas Lahaknos, Al Menas to be Mevatel to the other guy. See, this is an additional Chiddush over the last case. The last case was that even though one of the two people you're Mevatel Rishos to turns around and is Mevatel Rishos to the other guy, it's still no good. Over here it's even stronger. Not just that he turns around as Mevatel Rishos to the other guy, but that was the deal the whole time. When they were Mevatel Rishos to Reuven and Shimon, it was with the understanding that Reuven, you're going to go and turn around and be Mevatel the Rishos to Shimon. So I might have thought that that would work. So that's why it has to tell me that that does not work either. So in this Gemara, it seems pretty clear that when two people do not join in an Erev, they cannot be notel Rishos from other B'nai Chatzer to be matir their own tiltal in the Chatzer. And the Chiddush is that even if that was the original deal, that it's al menas to turn around and to be mevatel to the other party, it's still not going to work. Even though it would be mutter l'chora to tell the B'nai Chatzer that we are appointing you, meaning if let's say the other two, let's say you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, none of them joined in the Erev, there is no Erev. So Reuven and Shimon are being mevatel rishos to Levi and Yehuda, right? That's the last case. It doesn't work. Even if Reuven and Shimon tell Levi and Yehuda, they tell Levi, we're only being mevatel rishos to you, al menas that you turn around and mevatel rishos to Yehuda, right? Still not going to work. But what if Reuven and Shimon say to Levi that we are making you our shaliach to be mevatel rishus on behalf of all of us to Yehuda? That's your job. You are our shaliach to be mevatel rishus to everybody. So l'chora, that works. Meaning if they would have made him a shliach, if they would have been memanim as a shliach to be makna their rishus to Yehuda, so then everyone was mevatel rishus only to Yehuda, and that would be great. Still, in this case, where they didn't say we're making you a shliach, they said we're being mevatel to you, Levi, al menas, that you turn around and are mevatel to Yehuda, still it's not going to work, because they didn't beferish appoint him as a shliach, and apparently that's necessary to beferish appoint him as a shliach. So in the Sefer Toras Mordechai, quoted in the Pnine Halacha section of the Masifta, he says it's muchach from here that shlichos works for bittul rishos, because the whole reason it doesn't work over here is because they didn't make a shlichos. And he quotes from a Ritva, it's mefurish in the Ritva, that even according to the Maskana of the Gemara, shlichos works if they say beferish that they are making him a shliach. But he asked the kasha that later on in tomorrow's daf, we're going to find that bittul rishos b'shabbos is not a hakna'a gemura, it's not a full kinyan, it's a siluk rishos bil. You're just being mesalik yourself. When you're mevatel rishos, you're just saying, I'm no longer a ben achatzer. It's not that you're really making a kinyan, that I'm being makna to you, my something I own. I'm just saying, I'm no longer a ben achatzer. It's much more like hefker than it is like anything else. So if that's the case, the Ran writes in Maseches Pesachim, Dav Gimel Amud Beis, that shlichus doesn't work for bittul chametz, because bittul chametz works midin hefker, and you can't be mafker al yedei shliach. So let's put two and two together. If bittul chametz works al yedei hefker, and that's why you can't do bittul chametz al yedei shlichus, because hefker doesn't work al yedei shlichus, and bittul rishus works al yedei hefker, so how come you could do bittul rishus al yedei shliach? Right? The Ritva says over here that if they just been memanim shliach, it would have worked. But if bittul rishus works midin hefker, I thought hefker doesn't work al yedei shliach. So what's the difference? Why is it that in our sugya we assume that hefker, that bittul rishus which works midin hefker would work through a shliach, but the Ran writes in Maseches Pesachim that bittul chametz which works midin hefker does not work al yedei shliach. So the Toras Mordechai suggests that we can say that since you're not mevatel rishus lekol ha'olam, you're only mevatel rishus to the people who live in that chatzer, so it's not really so similar to hefker. Bittul chametz is much more similar to hefker, because when you're mevatel your chametz, you're mevatel your chametz to everybody. When you're mevatel rishus in the chatzer, you're mevatel rishus to the other b'nei chatzer, but not to everybody. And he also adds that the ikur bittul is not really a monetary hakna'a, it's a gilui das that you're being mesalik yourself from the chatzer. So that could work al yedei shliach, just because all you need to do, you're not, it's not about a a chefza. Like you have chametz, you're being mevatel that chametz. That chefza becomes now like hefker, it's ka'afra the ara, it's like dirt to you. Over here, it's not really about the chatzar, it's about you. You're saying, I'm not a ben ha-chatzar anymore. So it's about a gilui das that you have no intention to be a part of this chatzar. So to be megala das al yidei shliach, nothing wrong with that. You could always be megala das al yidei shliach, let everybody else know that you're being mevatel your rishos. This in the tshuva of the Baruch Moshe, Deborah Tzina writes in Chelet Beis from Memdalid, if Ruvein needed to be mevatel rishos for some tzorach gadol that was nogea to, so he needed to be mevatel rishos to Shimon, and Ruvein wasn't around to be mevatel rishos in the chatzar, he could be mevatel rishos al yedei Levi, that Levi will go and tell Shimon that Ruvein rishos Ruvein is mevatel eslach. But that's totally fine, because again, this svar, it's just a giloy das. That's all that's necessary. Now it happens to be that ran that I mentioned, Maseches Pesachim, is not necessarily agreed upon by everybody. That Bittul Chametz works with Din Hefker, and therefore you can't do it like the Shliach. Beis Yosef is Cholik on the run. And Beis Yosef writes in Simin Taf Lamed Daled that even though Bittul Chametz does work with Din Hefker, but still you could be Mvatal Yidei Shliach. Because the whole reason why does Shlichus not work on Hefker? Because Hefker has a din of a neder. It's like when a person is mafkir, that means Kilu is taking a neder that he's giving up ownership of it. Like that's how the Rambam describes in Hilchos Nedarim Parak Beis. So Shlichus doesn't work on a neder. Shlichus doesn't work but through Hefker. But Bittul Chametz is not about neder. It works with the same mechanism of Hefker. It works Kilu with Hefker, but it's not exactly Hefker. It certainly doesn't work me din neder, and therefore maybe Shlichus would work, says the Beis Yosef, when it comes to Bittul Chametz, even though Shlichus does not work when it comes to normal Hefker. Okay, that was all part one of the daf. Now we move on to part two. There's only one other subject in today's daf, and that is the bottom line over here. Boimle Rava me Rav Nachman Yoresh Mahu Sheyevatel Roshos. What's the halacha? Can a Yoresh be Mevatel Roshos? If someone yarshin something, if someone inherits a property on Shabbos, can he be mevatel rishos to the other members of the chatzer? What's the svar to say yes? What's the svar to say no? Say heicha di bayla ruve me'etmol matzi ma'arev betulei nami matzi mevatel. Do we assume that when can a person be mevatel rishos? If he is someone who would have been eligible to join in the Erev before Shabbos, so then he can be mevatel rishos on Shabbos. Aval hai, kiven di bayla ruve me'etmol lo matzi ma'arev. But this guy should not be the Yoresh, should not be able to be Mvatal Rishos, because he could not have joined in the Erev before Shabbos. And anyone who could not have joined in the Erev before Shabbos cannot be Mvatal Rishos. Oh, Dilmore, maybe no. Maybe Yoresh Kari Davuahu. Maybe he's considered an extension of his father, and his father could have joined in the Erev before Shabbos, and therefore he, as an extension of his father, could be Mvatal Rishos, just like his father could have been Mvatal Rishos. Rashi points out over here that Rava's Suffolk is in a situation where the Morish, the father, didn't join in the Erev and was not Mevatel as Rishos, and then he dies on Shabbos, meaning nothing had been done to take care of this house, to make it mutter in the Chatzer, to work it out. And that's how a significant group of Rishonim assume that the case is that the Morish was not Ma'arev, because if he would have made an Erev, so then the Bnei Chatzer would have been mutter betiltel, even without the bittel of the Yoresh, because when Shabbos starts, they're allowed to carry in the Chatzer. The fact that the guy dies in the middle of Shabbos is not going to aser, it's going to be mutal l'kol Shabbos kulo. That's going to see that clearly in a brisa in a few minutes. The Tosra ben Peretz and the Ran just explained that you can't say that we're talking about that the Morish made an was ma'ariv his rishus and then died right before Shabbos, and therefore the Erev became batal, because the Erev has to take effect ben Hashmashos when Shabbos starts. That can't be the Shaila of Rava, because if that were the case, how could Rava have any suffix to say that the Yoresh is not able to be mevatel his rishus, because he could not be mevatel mivod yom? Now, Adarabba, if the father died before Shabbos, so then who is the owner when Shabbos starts? Right before Shabbos started, the Yoresh was. So he could have joined in an Erev before Shabbos. So the case must be that the father did not join in an Erev, and the father died on Shabbos. So we have the svara that the son maybe is Kari Davua, that he is considered an extension of the father. This our sugya is the makar for that concept of bra karado avua. A lot of Rishonim and Poskim discuss this legabe Yerusha. There's a machlokas amorayim in Maseches Bava Kama. Rami Bar Chama holds that a rishus yoresh is kirishus lokeach, and Rava holds rishus yoresh is not kirishus lokeach. Meaning, when yoresh gets something, is that ki'ilu he's a lokeach, that he has purchased it, or is it not like he's a lokeach? He's not like a person, he's just a continuation of his father. So the Rambam, Hilchos Gzeilah Aved, the Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch, following after the Rambam, in Chosh Mishpat, Simen Shin Nun Gimel, and Simen Shin Samach Aleph, and Simen Shin Samach Beis, Paskins like Rava, that Yoresh is not Kirishus Lokeach, he's just an extension of his father, and that's how all the Rishonim explain it, that the Svara of Rava is that he's Karadavua, exactly this idea that our Gemara suggests. L'maynaf Kamina, whether a Yoresh, he owns it. What difference does it make whether a Yoresh is a Lokeach, or whether he's an extension of his father? So the Chiluk La'alacha is, if let's say the father stole something, and then the Gzela came Lidei HaYorshim through the Yerusha, is that called the Shina Rishus? Meaning, if someone, there's a concept called Yeyush and Shina Rishus. If a guy steals something and then he sells it to somebody else, so that's a Shina Rishus. So at that point, it could be that there's no Veheshiv HaSagzela anymore. So how do we view a Yoresh in that regard? Is a Yoresh, is that considered Shina Rishus, or is it not considered Shina Rishus? You have such a similar discussion. The Gemara Maseches Gittin discusses what happens at Yovel to the properties that Yorshim have. Let's say you have the father left over four fields and three sons. So how do they divide it? So technically, when the father dies, the Bechor owns 50% of each field, and each of the other two sons owns 25% of each field. But that's not such a convenient way to divide the property. So they decide, let the Bechor have fields A and B, and let son number two have field C, and son number three have field D. So what happens at Yovel? At Yovel, do they get to redivide it? Do they have to redivide it? Meaning, do they, if one of them says, son number three says, I don't like field D, I want to go back to have Chelek in field A, B, and C also. So does he have a right to say that? So if you hold that a Yoresh is just an extension of the father, that he's that it's all just a continuation of that estate, that they're all that when they divide it, it's all a continuation of the estate, so then they cannot when they subdivide it, it's a continuation of the estate, then it's that was what they arshin, they're not lukuchos, so they can't redivide it. But if they're lukuchos, then it would go back at Yovel. It's a similar discussion, it's not exactly the same. That's really a Breira discussion. That's really part of the sugya of Breira. But this also comes up. The Sefer Chasidim writes that one of the reasons that the Shulchan Aruch says a person fasts on the yahrzeit of a father is because the father and the son are guf echad, and it makes sense that the son should be mitztayer on the day that his father died, because he's guf echad together with the father. And he quotes in the Makor Chesed that the source of the father and the son being guf echad is erev in dafayinam beis, that brach karadavua, that he's considered to be an extension of the father. Sefer Chasidim over there in Siman Reish Lamed Beis quotes a wild maisa of Rav Sadia ben Yosef HaChacham, that there was a guy who went to Medina Sayyam together with his Eved, and he brought a lot of money with him, and his wife was pregnant when he went to Medina Sayyam, and then the master died while he was on this trip, and he left all of this money over, so the Eved pretended to be the child of this guy. He pretended to be the son of this guy, and he took all the nechasim, and he kept on saying ani b'no. So when the child grew up, that the mother had given birth to, he had heard that his father had died, and he went to go get his money. But it turned out that the Eved had so ingratiated himself with the aristocracy and it was Meshadech with some important people, so he couldn't start up with this Eved. He was afraid what's going to happen. So he went to this Chacham Rav Sadia, and he asked Rav Sadia, what am I supposed to do? So Rav Sadia gave him an Eitzah to go in front of the king and tell him your Taina, and the king brought Rav Sadia to adjudicate this case. So Rav Sadia says that he wants a blood sample. This is the Sefer Chasidim, that he wants a blood sample from the Eved and a blood sample from the son, and he takes a blood sample from each of them, and then he takes a bone from the father. Why the father? There was still a bone available from the father, don't know, but he takes a bone from the father and he puts it in the bowl where the Eved's blood is, and the dam is not nivla with the bone, and he takes the bone and he puts it where the son's blood is, and the dam is nivla together with the bone, an early DNA test. And he says, and you see this is the son, because Brach Karadavua, that a son is an extension of a father, it's all one and the same. So again, that's where the minhag seems to come from, to fast on a father's yard site. Shlach Kodesh says it's a minig yafa to fast on a Rebbe's yard site because you're chayiv and kavod rabbo more than kavod aviv. But the other Achronim point out, the Eliyahu Rava points out, mechitesi, that means that you have to fast. Who says fasting is a din in kavod? Fasting may just be a din in bra kara da avua. And there's no din of bra kara da rabbo, of a guy, a Talmud kara da rabbo. So maybe there's no inyan to fast on a Rebbe's yard site. In the Chuvas Sheim Aryeh, or Chaim Sumin Yadalit, he goes on a very long rant against the Talmidei HaBesht, that the Talmidei HaBesht had a minag that they would, instead of fasting on a yard site, they would make a lechayim, a tikkun, and a suda. They would always, a yard site became a suda. Instead of what it says in Shulchan Aruch, to fast, they'd make a suda. And they would say, why do we make a suda? Because when a big tzaddik dies, his yard site is considered to be a bit of a celebration. Haraya, lag ba'omer, we were celebrating a yard site. Rishim Bar Yochai. Aye, why do they do it when every yatz dies? It's not just for a big tzaddik, because everyone wants to say that their father is a big tzaddik. And Adrabe, it became to, in certain communities, where if you fast on a father's yard site, it's ki'ilu, you're saying your father was a nobody, because if your father's really a tzaddik, then you would make a big party on his yard site instead of fasting on the yard site. So Shem Aryeh has interesting things to say about Lag Ba'Omer and how valid a minag that is to begin with, but he also has interesting things to say about this minag. He's not such a big fan. He thinks we should do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so says the Gemara. So we want to know, can a Yorish be Mevatel Rishos? Amrlei, Ani Omer Mevatel, Vani Divei Shmuel Tanu Ein Mevatel. So the answer was, Rav Nachman says, I hold yes, you can be Mevatel Rishos, but you should know that the Yorish can be Mevatel Rishos, but Hani Divei Shmuel said that he cannot be. So we're going to bring two rayas against Rav Nachman in today's daf. Raya number one, Esvei, Zaklal, Kol Shemukta Mitzvah Shabbos Hutal, Kol Shabbos, Kol Shenesel Mitzvah Shabbos, Nesel, Kol Shabbos, Chutz Mevatel Rishos. What does that price mean? It means as follows. Kol Shutal Mitzvah Shabbos, Mutal Kol Shabbos. Anything that's Mutter for part of Shabbos, Mutter for the entire Shabbos, Kigon, Erev derech haPesach v'nistam haPesach. If you made an Eruv through a doorway between two Chatzeros, so the two Chatzeros are able to join in one Eruv because there's a doorway between them, and then on Shabbos the doorway gets closed up, it's still okay, they could still carry. Erev from one to the other. Erev derech chalon v'nistam chalon, or they were made an Eruv through a window, and then the window gets closed up in middle of Shabbos. So what zeh haklal adding? Zeh haklal asu yimav shenutlu korosov alechiv. Let's say you have a mavi that has a koro or a lechi that's Matir carrying in the Mavui, and the Koro Lechi is taken away on Shabbos. Good, next line was, Kol Shenesel, the Mitzvah Shabbos, Nesel, Kol Shabbos Kulam. Anything that's Aser for part of Shabbos is Aser for the entire Shabbos. Kigon, what does that mean? Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzid, Rishus Rabim, V'Kipim Nachim, Mechitza, B'Shabbos. You have two houses on two sides of the Rishus Ram, so you're not allowed to carry in that Rishus Ram, you only have two Mechitzos. But then Goyim come in and build other Mechitzos on Shabbos, so now it's fully surrounded. Still no good for the rest of that Shabbos. Zak Klal, Lasuye, Mai, what does Zak Klal add? Lasuye, Mace Nachri, B'Shabbos. That it comes to add a case where the guy dies on Shabbos. V'katani chutz mimevatel rishus. And what does it say? That's going to remain usher, except for in the case of mevatel rishus. Chutz becomes permissible in the middle of Shabbos, but that clearly implies that only the actual resident and not his inheritor is able to be mevatel rishus. Ihu in yoresh lo. So we see a raya from here against Rav Nachman. Who can be mevatel rishus? The guy himself, but not the yoresh. So says Gemara, no, you misread the raya. Ema chutz mi toras bitul rishus. It doesn't mean chutz mi mevatel rishus, it means chutz mi toras bitul rishus. The concept of bitul rishus is all permissible on Shabbos. We'll make something mutter on Shabbos, and even if the yoresh does it. Raya number two against from Nachman, Esvei, echem rei chatzar shemes. One member of the chatzar dies, v'niach rishus ola echad min ashuk, and he leaves his rishus over to someone from outside, for an outsider. Mibo diom oser, if this happens before Shabbos starts, it asers, that house asers on the rest of the chatzar, mishachashecha eno oser, but after Shabbos already starts, he doesn't answer. Vechun min ashuk shemes v'niach rishus olechun mimnei chatzer mibod yom eino oser mishchashecha oser. If one guy from outside dies and he leaves over from one of the members of the chatzer, so if it happened before Shabbos, it doesn't aser. After Shabbos starts, it does aser. Am I oser nivtel? Why should it be aser anything? Can't you just be mevatel? So we prove from here that a yoresh cannot do bittul rishos because it doesn't mention that option of just being mevatel the rishos. It just assumes that it would aser. So says Gemara, my oser nami diktani ad she yevatel. No, that's what oser means over here. Maybe the word oser in this context means that it's only a problem until the yorish is mevatel rishus. But if the yorish wants to be mevatel rishus, because on day the yorish absolutely has the right to be mevatel rishus. Okay, but Hashem, the third raya will bring tomorrow.